Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Can you all hear me? I get to sit in the big comfy chair. This is my first time sitting in the it's very comfy. Anyway, well, we're going to do things, again, just a little differently. My hope here is that we will be able to have somewhat of a back and forth discussion a little bit. We'll see how that goes. This could take us 20 minutes. It could take us 5 minutes. It depends how talkative we all are this morning. But what I want to look at, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew. In the vein of the video, of course, Matthew chapter 5. And once we're there, I will pray. Well, Father, we, again, take this time. We just pause. We just quiet ourselves. We quiet our hearts and just reflect on you, reflect on your beauty, reflect on your splendor and your majesty, particularly in this Christmas time, this Christmas season. And we just thank you for who you are and for the gift of your Son, our Lord, our King, our friend, our brother, Jesus the Messiah. So as we go into your word, I ask that you would open our ears and our eyes to meet you, that you would draw us to yourself this morning. Amen. All right. So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. So this is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So in a nutshell, what's he saying? It's Jesus' teaching. If you could sum it up. And that's not a rhetorical question. If you could sum it up just in a sentence or two. Don't hide your faith. Yeah. We're a reflection of the light of Christ. On that note, John chapter 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So what is John trying to say here? What's the connection there between light and life? What does it mean that Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone?
Just like light shines out into the darkness, the light of Christ shines out into, I guess, the death, the spiritual death of the world.
Any other thoughts? He should be a focal point for the world. Right. So is that true of Jesus now?
Yes, but they're not to notice it or
Okay. Back in Matthew, just to read it again on what was just said, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." So as again, it's that same picture, right? In total darkness, if there's a light. Because remember, Jesus is teaching at a time when, you know, when it's nighttime, generally speaking, it was total darkness. It was black, right? There wasn't the advent of modern electricity. So if there was a city on a hill, you would see it for theoretically miles around. And so what then is he getting at when he says, "You are the light of the world"? Because in John it says that Jesus is the light of the world, right? Okay, so what's the implication? So we should let him shine through our actions, essentially, is what you said? Okay. What kind of actions? In deeds. Do you... Pardon me?
In every action.
In every action. Okay. Do you think Christianity, say, within our Western culture, have we lost that vision? Is it compromised in any way? Why do you say that? Okay. So for those that maybe have lost it, how would we get it back? How would we get back on the right path? That is true. Mm-hmm. That is a good question. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Okay, down to your prayer life. Okay. Any other thoughts?
I picture it as a lighthouse.
As a lighthouse?
Yeah, we are the keepers of the lighthouse. And it's our choice to turn on the light for the ships to actually see where the land is.
Okay.
Where they have to be. If we keep the lights off and hide the lamp.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
I think light is another way to test your actions and your thoughts. Like, would you be reviewing, I review my own actions and thoughts, am I comfortable that it's all displayed on the city or hill, and the light is found, my actions are, do I prefer to hide them somewhere? Because I don't want people to know my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. So what else do you make of the verse 15 in particular? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives it light to everyone in the house. What would that look like, practically speaking, in our daily lives? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Mm-hmm.
And that is a light, but there's also an element of not putting under a lamp or a basket when it comes to what you share with someone.
Hmm. So what does that concept then look like, to have a lamp lit but then put it under a bowl? I mean, why would you do that? kind of does defeat the purpose, doesn't it? Pardon me? It smothers it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he says, instead of doing that, to put it on its stand, because then it gives light to everyone in the house. And so he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? What does he say? In this, yeah, that they may see your good deeds and then glorify your Father in heaven. And so I want to couple that with 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter writes, dear friends, verse 11, chapter 2, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So what is the connection then between good deeds and glorifying God? The people seeing your good deeds and then God being glorified. They can't deny the truth of what they saw. Okay, that's good. I think that's key. If I said, in all this, the focus isn't necessarily on the betterment of life, although that is a byproduct, rather it's about the implementation of the reign of God, what would you say to that? Do you agree or do you disagree? Yeah. The focus isn't necessarily the betterment of life, although that's a byproduct, rather it's about the implementation of the reign of God. Do you agree or do you disagree? And then why or why not? I think that's precisely it. So with all of that, then, if there is this link between Christ being the light and Christ being in us, and then we are thus a reflection of the light of Christ, and we're to let our light shine so that others may see our good deeds and glorify God, what do we do then when we get to chapter 6 of Matthew? Right, because this is all, you know, one big thing is Jesus is moving. And he says, when you get to Matthew chapter 6, he says, we'll read just a few verses here. It says in verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that you may be giving in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. And then if we jump down, verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces, right? But do it in secret, right? So on the one hand, it seems as though Jesus is saying, show your good deeds so everybody can see them and glorify God. And yet in a few verses later, he says, do it in secret. How do we reconcile these? Can you say that again?
A light doesn't declare itself. A light is just a light.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. What else? Ladies first.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The question I asked the kids at the end of Children's Church, what does it mean to give God the glory? It comes back to me that if I'm bringing glory to myself after acting in a hypocritical way or doing something for my own benefit, then I'm not recognizing the reality of who I am and what I've been called to and who God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So when you give, you are showing good deeds for the person you are giving.
Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's the true light. Right.
I think that when you give to the needy, that needy person knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
His words will lift you up more than your own.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
I think God will open people's eyes to see the light and the fruit, even if it is done in secret.
Hmm.
Bragging about how big you are isn't the key.
No. No, it's not. Bragging about how good you are isn't good. Right. Yeah. So I think one of the things that's key this morning is that to live out the kingdom values, it's accomplished primarily, I would argue, in the ordinariness of daily life. I think sometimes we get this idea in our heads that it's in all these dramatic ways through preaching and through witness and through missions and through, you know, on and on and on and on. But I think more often it's in the everyday routines of life, because that's where we meet people. That's where people exist, right? Is in our everyday routines. Sometimes that includes, you know, preaching and, you know, opportunities to witness and all of that. But it's in the ordinariness, the routine of life, because it's there that they'll see our transformed lives in everyday activities. And then, as Christ says, it glorifies God in what we do. And that's really, I think, part of the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, is that he's addressing this everyday life and this behavior and our thoughts and our hearts. That, of course, yes, we must proclaim the gospel when we're presented with the opportunity, and we should be praying for those opportunities regularly and for the strength and the boldness to do that through the Holy Spirit. A quote I found interesting, by a guy named Donald McCullough, said, "I'm more interested in the little things, such as remembering to say thank you and to call your mom on Mother's Day, These things may not seem very important when compared with the major problems facing our culture, yet they may be the best place to begin. They may be the only honest place to begin. If a person can't remember to say thank you to her housekeeper, it probably won't matter much if she writes a major philosophical treatise on kindness. If a person is rude to his family, the angels probably won't care if he preaches soaring sermons on the nature of love. What are your thoughts on that? Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you should stop there. God can take it far beyond that.
Yeah.
If we're doing the big, trying to do a big thing without paying attention to day-to-day things, then that's probably a good sign that we're not walking in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's precisely the key. Because as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Jesus is teaching us to be gentle and to pursue righteousness and to practice mercy and to be peacekeepers and to forgive others and to not treat people with contempt or resentment or to treat them as objects. Or you know, teaches us to give to and to take care of the poor and the widowed and the orphans. And so, just to close this time, what I'd like us to do, what I'd like you to do over the next few days, just as we approach the new year, is to both take some time to reflect back on this past year and who is it that God has led you to, who has God brought into your life in this past year that he's asked you to essentially to be a light to. And then moving forward, let's pray that God will continue to do that and to be, for us to be mindful and watchful of who is it that God is bringing into our lives that we can do precisely what he tells us to do, to be that light, to let the light of Christ shine through us, and to be very intentional as we do that. Again, it boils down to loving God, to loving others, and to making disciples. So I'm going to leave it there. What I want to do is take a few minutes to prepare our hearts. We're going to partake in communion together. And after a few minutes, I'll invite Norman to help me pass around the elements.